I must say, for the first half of my pediatric career, I was oblivious to the knowledge of how frequently and seriously bullying harms children. I just wasn't aware that bullying was at the root of a lot of illness in school-aged children that I was seeing, until I began to ask. And when I ask a child who comes to the doctor with recurring stomach aches or headaches if anyone is bullying them, and I see that tense facial expression form on their face, or possibly a little moistening of their eyes, well, then I know. I have learned in recent years to ask about this important issue. It's not surprising to me that I recently saw bullying on a list of the most frequent concerns that parents have. In fact, it was the number one worry among parents with school-aged children. Sounds pretty important, and a topic that deserves an entire podcast. So in today's installment of Portable Practical Pediatrics, I'm going to bring you up to speed on some of the newest information about the important topic of childhood bullying. Stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay tuned to hear this important edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
Welcome to Portable Practical Pediatrics, a podcast for parents and families, a place dedicated to children and their well-being. And now, direct from Studio 1E in Charlotte, North Carolina, here's your host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Let's begin this discussion by defining what constitutes bullying behavior. Of course, there's a line between bullying, teasing, and practical joke making. More on that in a few minutes. But first, let's talk hardcore bullying, behavior that everyone agrees crosses the line into bully land. These behaviors have to have the following features, what I call the core features of bullying. To qualify as bullying behavior, it needs to be repetitive and delivered over an extended period of time. Bullying behavior intends to inflict some type of harm to its victim. And finally, the target of bullying behavior pits the stronger against the weaker. So the three features are repetitive, inflicting harm, and a stronger person against a weaker person. Well, as it turns out, bullying is very, very common among children, happening to 35% of children sometime between their school age years and their high school graduation. That means that one out of every three children will be bullied during their primary school years. Well, given that as a backdrop, it is not surprising that 75% of school shooters and shootings are linked to bullying or harassment of the shooter, and 15% of absenteeism from school on any given day is thought to be due to the bully victims wanting to avoid school. As for the methods that bullies use, there are four primary methods that they deliver their control over their victims. Method number one, physical. This consists of hitting, slapping, pushing, pinching, and any other way you can think of physically harming another child. Method number two, verbal. Demeaning talk, manipulating relationships, threats, and verbal abuse constitute verbal bullying. Method number three, cyberbullying. Obviously a growing category of bully behavior and one that parents need to be particularly aware of. Things like using social media, which you know is a very public forum for kids, to send cruel or threatening messages. Posting lies about the victim or even embarrassing pictures. Repeatedly sending threatening texts to a victim would also be an example of cyberbullying. And finally, method four, ostracism. Purposefully targeting a child victim to be excluded socially from their peers by spreading lies and rumors or encouraging others to ignore the victim would fall into this category, something that children seem particularly good at. Well, what's the difference between just being mean to someone and bullying? Is teasing bullying? Well, it depends. Most teasing is not bullying, but yes, if it rises to the level to meet the three essential ingredients of bullying, you remember, repetitive, intended to harm, and delivered by a stronger child to a weaker one, well, then it's bullying. Is saying something negative about someone behind their backs bullying? Well, again, it depends. Most negative gossip is not bullying unless it meets the essential ingredients criteria of repetitive over an extended period of time, intended to harm, and delivered by a stronger child towards a weaker one. Well, is socially excluding another child bullying? Again, usually not, unless it is done chronically, intended to harm another child, and perpetrated toward a weaker child. Note that experts think that ostracism is a particularly damaging form of bullying to its child victim, and they claim it can be more harmful than physical bullying since the child victim is dehumanized by this type of bullying. So now let's talk about what we know about the actual bully and the victims of bullying. First, let's put our attention towards the bully. As you would expect, physical bullying is twice as common in boys as girls, but girls are more likely to engage in ostracism. No surprise there. Children who become bullies tend to use violence quicker than other children and have more aggressive personalities than non-bullies. Some experts think this is because of issues in the bully's home, tending to be more unstable and using violence as a communication tool more often than non-bully families. Intelligence of bullies is actually normal, counter to the usual perception. And not surprisingly, ADHD and oppositional defiant behaviors are far more common in a bullying child than the general childhood population. As for the long-term prospects for the bully, as expected, many struggle with violence into adult life, with the bully committing crimes at 4 times the rate of the general adult population. Bullies also have significantly higher rates of depression, anxiety, and suicidal behavior than the general adult population when they grow up. Now for the bullying victims. Child bullying victims may not be chosen randomly, with certain characteristics being more prominent in these children. Children with gender identity issues, especially if they are moving towards the LGBTQ community. Children with ADHD. Children with physical or emotional disabilities. And children with autism, including Asperger syndrome. These children are all more likely to be targets of bullying. In other words, children who are different are more vulnerable than other children. Now for the important part of this topic. When should parents begin to worry that their child is being bullied? Well, here's a list of situations where parents should open a conversation with their child about bullying and explore this issue with their child. If your child starts to refuse to attend or is avoiding going to school. If your child has a lot of bodily complaints like stomach aches and headaches. If your child seems withdrawn, depressed, or overly anxious. If your child has sleep problems, which are unusual for them. If your child has physical injuries that they have difficulty explaining. Or if your child shows a sudden change in their personality. All these things would warrant you having discussions with them about whether they're being bullied at school. Well, what are the consequences of bullying for the victim, you may be wondering? Well, as I said earlier, there is a growing realization that the victims of bullying suffer from a range of harms that include psychological, physical, and social. Victims can become anxious or overtly depressed and can even consider suicide as a way out of bullying. It is common for them to start to have a range of anxiety related to physical complaints such as headaches, sleep problems, and stomach aches. It's estimated, as we said before, that 15% of school absenteeism on any given day is related to bullying. And as far as social consequences for the victims, social isolation or even dropping out of school is often directly related to bullying. Once a parent identifies that their child is being bullied, what should they do? Well, here are my suggestions. Take immediate action and do what is necessary to stop the bullying as soon as possible. Make sure your child understands that you will protect them and that what has been going on is wrong and that they need not to take any of the blame for this. Make sure that your child understands what behaviors you consider bullying behaviors. Name these behaviors and work to stop them. Do not, however, encourage your child to fight back against the bully. This has been shown to increase bullying behavior that is being directed towards your child. Make sure you empathize with your child. Make sure they understand how upsetting the situation is and that you feel their hurt. Let them express their feelings whenever possible. I know your instinct is to intervene and become aggressive with the bully, but I think this is the wrong tact. Since bullying only occurs when the bully has unsupervised access to your child, a better approach is to make sure that access is limited as much as possible. If that means cutting off your child's access to social media, so be it. If that means changing schools, so be it. If that means forbidding friendship and contact with the bully, so be it. And finally, recruit the help of school administrators. Believe me, this will not be the first time they have dealt with this issue. But remember, if true bullying is going on, you must do whatever is necessary to protect your child, since, as we have seen, there are both short-term and long-term adverse consequences from the bullying situation. Take action. Well, as always, thanks for joining me today. If you enjoy learning about pediatrics with PEDcasts, go ahead and subscribe at www.docsmo.com to get notice of my latest content. Join the DocsMo family. I promise I'll help make you one of the best informed parents in the neighborhood. This is your host, Dr. Paul Smolin, giving parents some things that they need to insist on should their children be being picked on. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Anne Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music, Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry, and Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocsMo.com website. This DocsMo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.